welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
All right. Well, again, good morning and welcome. And again, very happy Memorial Day weekend to everybody. We were blessed with a beautiful one. And so good to celebrate the freedom that we have in Christ and celebrate the freedom that we have as a nation and just our ability to come on a Sunday morning and do this. This is a big deal. This just doesn't happen anywhere and everywhere in our world today. And so we are very appreciative and, again, thankful. Praise God. Well, we're going to go ahead and get started this morning. We're going to take a look at a couple passages of Scripture. We're going to start with 1 Peter 5:8. This is where Peter's kind of giving us an admonition. He's giving us a heads up. He's saying, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, all right? If you're a believer, this is your adversary. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you've suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. You know, we do have an adversary. And if you've lived for the Lord for very long at all, you've bumped up against this adversary. And it's interesting to see how Peter describes him, what we call the devil. He describes him as a roaring lion. And that's, you know, very apt. Because when you're dealing with that devilish, demonic attack, it is like a loud noise. It's not something you're seeing with your eyes. It's not anything grotesque or weird or a monster. But there are, it's like a roar of noise in your thoughts, in your mind. And we all have that to deal with. And so he's saying, be sober, be vigilant. In other words, be prepared, be ready, be alert. You know, this isn't something that you might experience in your lifetime. It's something you will at some point experience different seasons of attack. But you'll notice that he says he goes like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. You notice he just can't devour whoever he wants to. He can roar, he can suggest, and if you buy it, if you go into it, then yeah, it can bring you some places mentally and emotionally that can incapacitate us. That's what we'd call a demonic attack. You know, Paul in Ephesians 6 says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but powers, principalities, these unseen forces that we have to deal with. So keep kind of that thought in mind. Also, I just want to bring out in verse 10, he says it's not forever. He says after you've suffered a while. In other words, you've got this noise, you're having to deal with it. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. But after you've suffered a while, he's going to perfect, establish, and strengthen you. In other words, when you come through that, you're not going to come through it. You're not going to be the same on the other side of it as you were before. You're going to be more perfected, more established, more strengthened, and more settled. So something good is going to come out of this thing. But here's another concept thought that I just want to kind of mash together with this. Psalm 91:1. It says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Now I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him I will trust. Same verse amplified. For he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall remain stable and fixed under the shadow of the Almighty, whose power no foe can withstand. I will say of the Lord, he's my refuge and my fortress, my God. On him I lean and rely, and in him confidently trust. This morning, I want to kind of take some thoughts and kind of pull them together, those two thoughts. And the title of the message is simply this, Shelter in the Secret Place. We're all dealing with storms, those demonic attacks, however you want to describe them, phrase them, but whatever it is, we deal with that stuff. The storms of life, the roars, the loudness of the noise. And I've known this, and even recently, Julie and I lived in Oklahoma for several years. We went to Bible school there, and we were just actually visiting kids, recently. This was for Kaylee's graduation. Oh, it's actually Caleb's graduation. We had them both graduating this month, so I'm keeping them straight. But this is Caleb's graduation, and we were just there at the Village Inn breakfast place, and just as we were getting our food, the tornado sirens went off. And I could see the TV up there, and I just kind of excused myself from the table just so I could get a little more information to see. And as they were describing the location of the rotating clouds, and they gave us a map of Tulsa and where it was like where it was at that moment was right where we were. It was like right over us. It's like, wow, you know. And so, you know, we're praying. I'm praying, you know, to myself, and as it turns out, that the sirens, that thing just kept going in that path. They said it would, but it never came down. It never turned into a tornado. You know, there's rotation, but there's other things that have to happen for it to turn into a tornado. But they give you that heads up. But the thing that they say when those sirens go off and you listen to the radio, the television, they'll say, get to your safe place. Get to your safe place. In other words, be sober, be vigilant. You need to know what your safe place is, and you need to know where it is. So when the siren goes off, you know where to go. Well, we know we have a safe place. We have a safe place in God. In fact, it is so safe, you know, that whose power no foe can withstand. There's a safe place under His wing. There's a safe place in His secret place. And that's an amazing thing. You know, even there's something about it when the storm is on you and you're in that safe place. You can hear the wind. You can even hear the rain just slapping the roof. And you're dry and you're warm and you're safe. It's not stopping the storm. The safe place doesn't stop the storm. It's just giving you shelter. Because that storm is temporary. After you've suffered a while, it's seasonal. You can even look at the radar screens and say, oh, all right, it's going to be hitting about 7 minutes, and it's a pretty thick one, so it might be about, you know, 20 minutes that we're going to hunker down here. And the enemy's attacks are like that too. He comes along roaring, seeking whom he may devour. And so many times, you know, he's so enticing with those roars that it's tempting to want to kind of go out and try to problem solve in the midst of a storm, try to figure things out, to try to make the storm go away sometimes. But God is going to lead you to that secret place. He's going to lead you to the safe place. And in the middle of that safe place, it's amazing what He can do. It's amazing what He can show you. It's amazing the revelation that you can get. But first things first, when that siren goes off, go to your safe place. So we're going to look at that this morning. We're going to talk a little bit about what that means, shelter in the secret place. And we're just going to look at really two aspects of what we mean by that in terms of shelter in the secret place. The first place we want to look at is shelter in His presence. Okay? There's some amazing realities that we have in God as it relates to finding shelter in the presence of God. We see here Jesus kind of showing us how to get into that secret place. He says, when you pray, you won't be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the street, that they may be seen of men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you shut your door, pray to your Father, who's in the secret place. And your Father, who sees in secret, will reward you openly. I love the Message version of that. He says, here's what I want you to do. Find a quiet, secluded place so you won't be tempted to role play before God. Just be there as simply and honestly as you can manage. The focus will shift from you to God, and you will begin to sense His grace. That's a beautiful thing. When you're kind of going in there, you know, this is faith. You know, when you're hearing the sirens go off, you know, the last thing in the world you're feeling is spiritual. You know, you're feeling, because those things will shake your soul. All right, your emotions in your mind, and you're operating by faith. You know, you see those snow globes. You see those, you kind of shake them, and you get all the flakes going all over, things like that. Well, when the enemy roars and the sirens are going off, that's what he's trying to do, just to kind of stir up your soul. And it's hard to see. It's kind of stuff everywhere, debris, if you will. And in that moment, you're going to that secret place by faith. And when you get there right away, don't beat yourself up for not just feeling perfectly spiritual and connected and getting the flow and the revelation at the moment. I love what that says. Just don't role play. Don't try. Just begin to just listen to your heart. You know, you have the anointing. You have the Holy Spirit who abides on the inside of you. You can just get quiet before God and just begin to say what you hear the Holy Spirit saying. It might just be, praise you, Jesus. Lord Jesus, need your grace, your peace. Lord, just show me what to do just from the heart, just real things that are coming from within you, all right? And so there's that place where you'll kind of get to that place with the Lord. Now, I think of a secret place. That place can be, I think of secret places throughout my life. I've had a real prayer closet that I've gone into. I've had a certain sofa that it was the corner of that sofa, a recliner chair. There's some different geographical things that I think of when I go to my safe place. Because I know when I go there in that spot, I kind of go there for one reason. I kind of go there to shift focus and get my heart and my mind off me and just get it on God and just to be listening to what he's saying. That secret place. It's good to have it. Where's your safe place? Now, granted, your safe place can be anywhere. It doesn't have to be a physical geographical location. But it's good in terms of a regular place, to kind of have a place that you designate and say, you know what, that's my secret place with me and the Lord, and to have that spot, and to be able to go there. Now, as we go there, and we get there, we find something out about our Lord once we get there. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. We're talking about shelter in the middle of the storm. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for you're with me. And your rod and your staff, they comfort me. This is, again, this is the ministry of his presence. There's just something about knowing in the middle of the storm that he's there and that he's with you. But you'll notice kind of what God does, his plan. He makes you lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. You could say, in other words, like all those flakes in that snow globe, he's going to get them all down. Be able to see the picture. Be able to see clearly. Because from there, you know, he'll lead you into paths of righteousness for his namesake, but he'll restore your soul first. And he'll begin to lead you. He'll begin to show you some things, even in the middle of the storm. Stuff that you can do. And, you know, we're talking storm. We're talking kind of high-level allegorical. These things can be a lot of different things, whether it's a relationship storm or a financial storm or just a personal struggle, addiction storm, or different things like that that you're dealing with. Or sometimes it's just like, wow, one of those days where everything is just coming at you, almost like a convergence. You know, there's different storms that we deal with. But regardless of the catalyst, the siren's the same, the secret place is the same, the Lord's the same, and what we need is the same thing. We need that presence of God to restore our soul. And I want to say this too. A lot of times when you're going through storms, and you're going through storms for an extended period, different seasons, you know, different durations of storms. We said it's for a while, but for a while can have different segments even in for a while, you know, whether it's for a couple days or weeks or months, different things like that. One of the enemy's tactics, one of that roaring lion's tactics that you have to be aware of, he wants to steal your sleep. Just throw it out there. He's after your sleep. It's amazing, spiritually, when he can just get you sleep deprived, how many things that affects in terms of your ability to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, just going after your sleep. I'm just kind of throwing this out there as just some wisdom. Be aware of your sleep. I've found that I'm not having to resist near as many demons when I get a good night's sleep as when I'm sleep deprived and I can't put two thoughts together. There is a natural side to this too, that you need to be aware of sleep. Be aware of getting good, proper sleep. There's things you can do, even in the natural. There's some natural, healthy, I know there's different methods, things that you can do. It's kind of funny, Julie and I, we love the Antiques Roadshow, all right? We're fans. We'll watch that and we'll try to guess what something's worth. But there's something about the Antiques Roadshow after 11 p.m. It's like a big sleeping pill. There's just something about trying to locate exactly where within the Ming Dynasty great, great, great Aunt Mildred's candlestick belongs. You know, it's fascinating during the day, but after 11 p.m., that'll shut you down. It's amazing. I mean, some of those episodes probably should require a prescription. They're strong. It's kind of whoever falls asleep first, the other one has to shut off the TV and the lights, but very rarely do we go the distance. It's amazing. There's little natural things that you can do, but I'll find that when I'm kind of having a hard time and I'm having a hard time sleeping because that storm is in my mind and I have a hard, this is a great psalm right here, Psalm 23. I would encourage you, put this one in your heart. I'm not big on saying memorize this scripture, that scripture, but I'll tell you, if you get Psalm 23 just in your heart, it's mobile. It's in your spirit. And wherever you are, I can't tell you how many times I've been like, oh, I just can't get to sleep. And all of a sudden I remember, oh, yeah, Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. Even though I'm walking through the valley of the shadow of death, I won't fear any evil. There's something about that. It's the word of God. It's inspired by the Holy Spirit. But the truth of that psalm, I can't tell you how many times I've woke up the next morning going, I wonder how far I got along in that psalm before I fell asleep. And if you got to just say it a few times, that's fine. But there are certain scriptures, words, where in the middle of your storm and you're in that secret place, God is going to work with you to get your sleep. Sleep matters. When I lay down, I'll tell my kids this too. Abby's got this one memorized. When I lay down, I will not be afraid. Yes, I will lay down and my sleep will be sweet. Because she'll come in, periodically and just kind of have some things. And so we'll just kind of have some of those scriptures. And I'm just telling you what, it's amazing how when you begin to get sleep and get good sleep, good rest, it's really helps as you're weathering some of those storms. And God will use different things, different ways. Here's another powerful thing, being in the secret place of his presence. Psalm 32:7, you are my hiding place. You shall preserve me from trouble. You shall surround me with songs of deliverance. This is actually the Passion. Lord, you are my secret hiding place, protecting me from these troubles, surrounding me with songs of gladness. Your joyous shouts of rescue release my breakthrough. There is just something, and we see even throughout the scriptures, where you just begin to sing. Paul, the middle of the jail, began to sing. And there is something about when you begin to worship the Lord and the presence of God, and the presence of God fills the room. It's like the psalmist says, I don't care if I'm going through the valley of the shadow of death, you're with me. And I know you're with me. And let me just say this about this part of, again, this is kind of practical this morning. I'm just kind of talking about stuff that's worked with me as far as faith meeting real life with this stuff. Because of the day and age we live in, we've got some technology that we can use for us. I've got my phone and, different things like that. But I'll tell you what, I've got some secret place playlists, that I will listen to. In other words, there are songs of deliverance that have delivered me and helped me and really are a blessing to me. And when the snow globe is like this in your head, it's good to know where your safe place is. And not only that, in a spiritual sense, but specifically, if there are songs that have really blessed you, songs of deliverance, have them ready to go and be ready to turn them on and worship God and get that faith in the Word of God through the music flowing in your mind, your emotions, your heart. It'll begin to tune you to heaven. We know we're supposed to set our mind on things above, but there's something about the power of worship that helps to tune your mind to those things above. And there's something about it. To be spiritually minded just is life and peace. You're not manufacturing it. You're not producing it. It just is. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus flows through the Word of God and spiritual mindedness and produces a life in peace. But that's where you're just going to be intentional. I know where my safe place is, and I know my safe place deliverance songs. And I'm going to begin to play those and minister them and allow them. That's not cheating. I don't have to sit around and wait for something inspirational before I can be inspired. I can be intentional about things that I know have already blessed me and God has already used. Because I'll tell you what, they will bless you again and again and again. That is something practical, but I'm telling you, if you do that, take a little time, get that music and begin to set your mind and let that music minister, it'll help you in the secret place to help you be to be a shelter. We're talking about a shelter in the storm with the secret place. And then I'm just want to say this too. When you're in that secret place, a lot of times one of the things that the enemy's roaring is what to do. What are you going to do? What are you going to do about that thing? That, again, relationship, financial, personal, whatever the storm might be, there's always the question, what are you going to do? And one of the great things that I have found when I get in that place and I'm taking shelter in the secret place, the Spirit of the Lord just spoke this to me once. He said, Ed, just get saturated in my presence. Just get saturated in my presence and then just do what I tell you to do from there. You can't miss doing that. What am I going to do next? I'm going to do whatever he shows me to do next. That's my answer to that question. In the meantime, I'm just going to get in the secret place. This is faith. And I'm telling you what, when you begin to live for God, there's a culture of faith that is different, that's going to change the way you've ever done things before. Even things you've heard your whole life, you're going to begin to change the way you live. You're going to change the way you live. You're going to change the way you respond to certain circumstances and situations. Maybe even things that you thought were, man, well, that's kind of out there a little bit. No, I'm going to do what the Word of God says to do. The culture of my life is changing. I'm not the same person I was last year, nor will I be the same person next year at this time. I'm going to love him with all my heart, all my soul, all my mind, all my strength. That includes the storms. Right in that place, I'm going to change the way I do things. Be sober, be vigilant. You can learn how to live on top of storms. You can learn how to cope, kind of go through. But I'll tell you what, you can get in there with God. Change the way you do things. Change the way. I love the scripture. What about faith? What is faith? You're just believing he is, and you're believing he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Something happens when you start living for God with your diligence. There have been things that I've sought God. I didn't get it. I wondered. But I didn't diligently seek him. You can half-heartedly seek him, or you can write it on the table of your heart. You cannot let it depart from your eyes. You can keep it in the midst of you. There's a seeking that's not going to let go. Those kind of changes and adjustments will take place on the inside of you because you decide, no, I'm not going to cope this storm. I'm going to get freedom. I'm going to get deliverance in this storm. I'm going to change what I've done before. I'm going to go from glory to glory. My diligence is going to change. It's not going to stay the same. I don't want to be emotionally sapped. I want to go somewhere. I want traction in my spirit. I'm going to hold on to you. I'm going to ask. I'm going to seek, and I'm going to knock, and I'm going to find, and the door will be opened unto me. And I'm going to ask, seek, knock. You promised Jesus, and I'm not going to let go. I'm diligent in the storm. There's a roar that you have yourself in that storm. And when you come out on the other side of that storm, you're more perfected, established, and strengthened because your God brought you through the storm. You saturated yourself in his presence, and he showed you what to do next. Praise God. Nothing like that. There is nothing like that. Not only do you get through the storm, but you get to know your God more and his faithfulness to his word more. We know the concept. Well, all scripture is inspired by God. We hold on to it. But I'll tell you, the reality of it is right here in these storms. You hold on to it. You go through some things. Man, that's going to change everything. Psalm 31:20. You shall hide them in the secret place of your presence from the plots of men. You shall keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. Blessed be the Lord, for he has shown me his marvelous kindness in a strong city. I love this because there's a lot of, again, problem solving, damage control, mind stuff that you're doing regarding people. And what does it say? I'm going to keep him. I'm going to protect him. In other words, this is another one of those scriptures that says, God has my backside. In his presence, I'm not having to try to politic what men are thinking. I am just trusting in that secret place. Not only is he keeping me, but he's working on all sides of this thing. There is something about when a person sets his love upon the Lord. That psalm says, because he has set, I think we're getting here, the psalm says, because he has set his love on me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he's known my name. He will call upon me and I will answer him. I'll be with him in trouble, regardless of the trouble. Whether if it's his own making or other person's making, I will be with him in it. Not only will I deliver him, but I will deliver him and honor him. And with long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. There is a heart, that I'm going for it. I'm going after it. I'm going after the presence of God. He's going to show me what to do, but there's a favor in that. And when he sees this piece of it, he's going to hide me. He's going to the secret place. He'll keep him secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. Praise God. You get to a place in that secret place, you don't care who's saying what about you. You don't care. I saw a funny little post the other day. I think it was Bob Lenz who posted it. He said, when people are in their 20s, they're always worried about what everybody's thinking about them. By the time they get their 40s, they stop worrying so much and not caring what everybody thinks about them. By the time they get to their 60s, they realize that people weren't even thinking about them in the first place. There's a lot of stuff that's imagined, is all I'm saying. You know? And God just graciously can just kind of, just get through the weeds and show you what's important. You know, he'll show you what to do next. That's all that's important. That's the main thing. And so, you know, but that's an amazing work. There's a presence of the Spirit. See, the Spirit of God is a spirit of a sound mind. There's a spirit of a sound mind. Man, I'm thinking clearly, and I'm under the influence of the spirit of a sound mind. Same way you cannot think clearly under the influence of something else, you can be thinking clearly. You're in that place of his presence, and that spirit of a sound mind rises up, praise God, and you're seeing what you need to see. And then Jesus, come unto me, all you who weary, heavy. And what I love about that verse 28, come unto me all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. He doesn't qualify that. There's no disclaimer. He's not talking about sweet, innocent little victims who were misunderstood. All right? We've been there, at some degree. We've all experienced that. But he's not restricting that. He's talking anybody for any reason who's just heavy laden, whether it's yourself or whatever. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you. I'm humble, gentle in heart. This is a sweet, sacred place. You'll find rest for your souls. I'm going to settle that snow. My yoke is easy to bear. My burden I give you is light. And so what is that? That's a sweet place of his presence. I can go there. His wisdom, I can hear it. You know, it's a safe place. The other thing that I just want to talk about this morning is the shelter of his word. There is something very powerful about just the word of God. We see the example here Jesus gives. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I'll liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew, and beat on that house. And it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. Somebody went to their safe place in the word. A message puts it this way. These words I speak to you are not incidental additions to your life. And we're talking about that diligence. They're not incidental additions to your life, homeowner improvements to your standard of living. They are foundational words, words to build a life on. If you work these words into your life, you are like a smart carpenter who built his house on solid rock. Rain poured down, the river flooded, a tornado hit, but nothing moved that house. It was fixed to the rock. What are you doing? To dig in a rock, that takes effort. In other words, you had to spend some time even before the storm hit. Right now that we have, that we can begin to spend time. What are we talking about? Digging in that rock. It's where you begin to hide that word of God in your heart. And you begin to get, that word becomes real to you now, you know, in different areas of your life. That's an investment of your time. It costs more money. Even we know when we have to do basements or things like that, digging in a rock is more expensive. It costs more money, more resources, more time. And a lot of times people won't invest that. But Jesus is saying, man, when you'll invest that spiritually, when you'll invest that in your heart, you might like, things are different now. I just feel like even in the church is changing in the culture of the reality of what we've known for centuries, beginning to walk in a diligence in the Word of God, where we are digging in rocks now, not just knowing the theology, but we're beginning to dig, beginning to take the time, beginning to get the Word of God in our hearts and realizing that Word really is the inspired Word of God. It really is alive and powerful. Getting that Word on the inside. Here we see, the psalmist says, hear my cry, O God, attend to my prayer from the end of the earth. I cry to you and my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For you've been a shelter for me, a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in your tabernacle forever. I will trust in the shelter of your wings. You know, when I look at this, there's a few things that I think of. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. What I love about that is a lot of times when our heart is overwhelmed, we think, well, that's it. Game, set, match. I'm overwhelmed. I can't do anything now. You never lose your ability to choose God. You never lose that. I'm overwhelmed. I got to have the candy bar. Nope, that's too much. Two candy bars. Whatever it is. The candy bar is whatever else you reach for when you're feeling overwhelmed. But here's the important thing to realize. No matter how overwhelmed you feel, you don't lose your ability, no matter how yuck and weird and foreign it might seem, to still choose God and to choose the Word of God. You never lose that. And that's why even Judy talked a little bit about the narratives, the God narratives. That's kind of what a God narrative is. It's like the fire drill escape plan. So when the siren goes off, I've not only got the songs of deliverance, but I got those scriptures in my heart, in my mind. God hasn't given me a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. He didn't just come up with that, you know, and not take into consideration my situation. No, that is the Word of God. I haven't been given a spirit of bondage again to fear, praise God, but a spirit of adoption whereby I cry, Abba, Father. The power is in that Word, not how I'm feeling at the moment. But what is that? The Holy Spirit is leading me to the rock of the Word of God, the rock of the unchangeable truth of His Word. It is written there in the middle of my storms. A couple other psalms. You're my hiding place and my shield. I hope in your Word. Depart from me, you evildoers, for I will keep the commandments of my God. That's the roaring lion. Uphold me according to your word, that I may live, and do not let me be ashamed of my hope. You know, I'll tell you, that's one of the things the enemy will do. All your little scripture tricks, huh? Really? Serious? Yeah, serious. And now I'm diligently seeking more than I ever have. And I'm asking, seeking, knocking, and I'm standing, and I'm not letting go of the word. Maybe where I let go last month, last year, I'm not letting go now. I'm holding on to it until I'm changed. I'm holding on to it because I believe it. I'm diligently seeking, and I believe that He's a rewarder. He's a rewarder. I will get the answer. The door will open. I will see. There will be relief and strength, and I will be strengthened as I hold on to that word. He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek. He's a rewarder of those who don't let go. Praise God, hold me up, and I shall be safe, and I shall overcome, and I shall observe your statutes continuously. Let my cry come before you, O God. Give me understanding according to your word. Let my supplication come before you. Deliver me according to your word. My lips shall utter praise, for you teach me your statutes. My tongue shall speak of your word. My tongue shall speak of your word. My tongue shall speak of your word. Not just something that I've got in my head, but I'm speaking in the storm. I'm speaking that word of God. For all your commandments are righteous. Ah, man, I'll tell you what, the weapons of our warfare really are powerful through God for pulling down strongholds and casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. I'm not having to come up with something spiritual. I got something spiritual. And I'm speaking something spiritual. I'm speaking that word. Praise God. And that's the foundation that's holding up underneath me. No pressure on me to have to come up with anything. All I'm doing is by faith declaring what God has already said. I've asked Julie this morning if she would come forward. The Lord gave her a song several years back. I think Whitney was a baby, and it was something that has always stuck in my heart. It's always encouraged me, and I believe it's going to bless you too.
Under your wing, under your wing, there's a safe place I can hide. Under your wing, those storms will come and go. Satan may try to destroy me with sickness, with lack, or with harm. I won't be filled with fright because I know I'm in your sight as you hold me through the night. Under your wing, under your wing, under your wing, there's a safe place I can hide. Under your wing, those storms will come and go, and though the raging winds may there's a secret place I know under your wing. A thousand might fall on my left side, or 10,000 at my right hand. But Lord, you are so perfect love casts out my fear as you safely hide me here under your wing, under your wing, under your wing. There's a safe place I hide.
Thank you this morning. There is a safe place. There is a place we can go when the sirens go off, when the enemy goes roaring. We go to our safe place. It is the safest place in existence. The place of your presence, the place of your peace, peace that passes our understanding, that just keeps our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus while the storm is passing over. We don't lose our heart. We don't lose our mind. You keep us there. Amazing peace. Amazing grace. We thank you, Lord, for your word. Go ahead and make this your declaration of faith if your heart can agree with these words. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the safe place. It's under your wing. You've protected me. There's a presence under your wing, a presence of peace, presence of love, a presence of understanding. And I rest in that place, and I find rest for my soul. I thank you for your word. It's true. It's sure. And just as Jesus could speak your word in the face of demonic attack, I say it is written. That word is my word, my authority, my deliverance, my escape. I thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, receive that this morning. I'll tell you what, you know, you're not going to, no matter how spiritual you get, no matter how much you love God, no matter how much you, you know, get in tune with the Spirit of God and do things for God, you'll never get to a place where you don't experience attack. But what our admonition is, be sober, be vigilant. In other words, okay, I know that attacks come, but I know my secret place. And again, kind of at a practical level, I know where I'm going. I know some songs that really minister to my heart. I know those scriptures. I've got my God narrative of those scriptures that speak to my heart. Begin to, in a practical way, don't let this just be a conceptual concept and idea. Get really diligent with this message. Diligent enough to get a playlist. Diligent enough to get a narrative. Diligent enough to go when the sirens go off and let that word speak and minister to your heart. There is nothing like being in the presence of God in the midst of the storm. Yeah, you hear the wind, you even hear the slap of the rain on you, and you think, wow, I would have just been tore up by that last week. But I'll tell you what, the word of God is sustaining me, sustaining mine. The spirit of a sound mind is sustaining. Yeah, I hear the roars, but they're not going in because the spirit doesn't even bear witness. They're just dropping. Praise God. Let that word speak to you and minister. Be encouraged. No matter what the storm is, you've got a safe place that's stronger than any storm.